Hello and welcome to Warpod, the official podcast of the Remote Warfare Program.
In our monthly Westminster Roundup podcast, we give you a quick roundup analysis of the two top stories from Westminster, chosen by Liam, that's him,
and Megan, that's her.
So, Megan, what's your top story of the month?
So, the thing I like to explore this month is the impact of the coronavirus on the integrated review. So, as we've spoken about before, the integrated review is a process that happens every 5 years, and it aims to take into stock what the main threats are against the UK and how the UK is going to respond. And so this year's integrated review was supposed to be particularly special because it's meant to be one of the most comprehensive reviews since the Cold War. And it takes place in a time where a lot of things are changing. So the UK has left the EU and it has to define its role outside of the Union. Threats from states such as Russia and Iran are becoming a main focus again. And now, of course, we also have a pandemic that has to be taken into account. So I just want to explore very briefly what the impact of the coronavirus has been on the review so far. And the first is a very obvious point in that the review has been delayed because of the coronavirus. And we don't know how long that'll be for or when it'll be picked back up, but it's likely to be towards the end of the year or the beginning of next year. And the context of this delay is different than anyone had obviously hoped for, but we have been pushing for a long time to have a longer time to give real input into this review. And the pandemic has only made the need for a delay more acute. And so in a way, it is good to see that there has been a response to this and a delay of the review. It was initially given 6 months to be completed when it was announced in the beginning of the year. And most people we've spoken to have said that it needs much longer than that to actually be beneficial and have a real impact. So we are pleased it's been delayed. And we have perhaps a small glimmer of hope that it might have a more realistic timeline when it's picked back up. And maybe there'll be more room for external engagement. Certainly you can hope. The second impact of the coronavirus on the review is that we've heard from a lot of experts that we've spoken to that there's this risk that the review will focus too much on the financial costs of the UK foreign policy rather than really trying to address the values that the UK is trying to disseminate throughout the world. And then we heard from quite a lot who are keen to emphasize that the review has to outline not just what the UK is willing to not do, but also what they are willing to do and what their actual values are, what it stands for. And I think there's a risk from the financial pressure on the UK government after the virus that it may exacerbate the risk that the review will be focused more on the cost efficiency of what it's doing rather than actually addressing the real values the UK is trying to espouse.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point and has probably been compounded in a way by the ongoing crisis. I mean, I think although there is a glimmer of hope that the fact of it being extended may provide a greater opportunity for this to, as you say, focus on those things about who we are as a country, mm-hmm. what our priorities are going to be at the international level. But at the same time, you know, the amount of spending that has come out of the support the government has put in place in response to the coronavirus is the largest, as far as I'm aware, of any government in peacetime in the UK.
Yeah.
It is, you know, the government's describing it as one of the most generous, I think, analysis elsewhere I'll be able to determine whether that is the case. But nonetheless, it still is a very vast sum of money, and that will have implications on defence. And I think especially because we saw at the beginning of this year with the new government under Boris Johnson that they were hoping to move away from the austerity, as it's described, you know, cutting back money on different sort of public spending priorities and actually reversing that and putting more money in. So I think they're going to be reticent to stop that narrative. They're already looking to the next election. So yeah. They'll very much perhaps find alternative ways. And that could mean defence. I mean, it's going to be difficult because I think, you know, from experts that we've heard from, this is a different government, a different Conservative Party in Parliament. And they are probably going to be more supportive of spending more on defence. But that doesn't avoid the reality that it is going to be difficult when it comes to that comprehensive spending review. So lots of things, as you say, to think about, and I just don't think even now at this point we can sort of judge or see how it's going to turn out.
That's the thing as well. It's very difficult to make predictions about the impact of this because of course no one knows when it's going to be picked back up or what's going to happen from the pandemic.
Exactly.
And one of the things I think is interesting is that what our colleague Abigail Watson pointed out in her recent briefing on this, that often when you have a government that's very focused on the cost efficiency of its foreign policy, it often turns to remote warfare because this is perceived as a very low cost and very low risk form of engagement. And so there is a risk that this is going to become more used, even though it's not low risk. The risks are just not very well understood.
Absolutely. No, definitely. Absolutely. Point so, well made.
Liam, what's your main story of the month?
Well, I mean, it may have passed people by, but we did have the outcome of the Labour leadership election. And surprise, surprise, Keir Starmer won. with over 50% of the vote from the Labour Party, which is a solid mandate, and it actually is similar to what Jeremy Corbyn secured all those years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think speaking to that point about not really knowing where we're going to be in 6 months' time with the review, I think this is a different Labour Party. There are different people in key roles within his cabinet that he's appointed. So I think in terms of how they are now going to tap into the debate around national security might be somewhat different to how the previous leader, Jeremy Corbyn, looked at defence. So if you take, for example, Lisa Nandy, who has been appointed foreign secretary, you know, she was another candidate during the leadership election. And one of the things that she sort of expressed was frustrations about those within the party who are sort of taking a very absolutist approach to intervention abroad, sort of arguing that, well, you know, it admits that she wasn't in parliament at the time, but she opposed the Iraq intervention, but said that, you know, we need to make sure that sometimes there are occasions when we step up and those that we don't, and we can't let the sort of spectre of the Iraq intervention unnecessarily stop us from intervening in places, whether that's diplomatically through development aid or through military means. She's quite clear on that it's sort of even perhaps that on the diplomatic side, being sort of more reticent about being involved in international could mean that you wouldn't engage diplomatically. So I think, you know, she's got a very different kind of approach. She's internationalist. She believes that the party needs to have a different approach, given that we're now heading, as you were describing, towards sort of post-Brexit Britain, which is still coming. I think we sort of seem to have forgotten about this impending withdrawal from the EU, but it's still very important and appears to be still on track. So I think that's going to be an interesting point. You know, she supported intervention in Libya, but then she actually opposed the intervention in Syria in 2015. So I think, you know, then that was based on the fact that she didn't feel that there was a sufficient or well-made plan as part of that intervention in terms of how you would bring peace. But I think it demonstrates that there are circumstances where perhaps she would support a humanitarian intervention or support the deployment of Britain's troops. And the other person who's been appointed is John Healey at the defence, for the defence portfolio. And he's an interesting character because he's been in the housing portfolio for, I think, something like 11 years. He was there, I think, at the end of the 2010s when Gordon Brown was in office, and then took over under Ed Miliband and then again with Jeremy Corbyn. Now he's at defence. So he doesn't actually have a significant sort of track record or anything sort of specific that stands out from his long parliamentary career. But I think if you look at, again, going back to the interventions in Syria, he also voted against that intervention on the basis that, you know, he said that he didn't think necessarily that many British service personnel would lose their lives, but that this could lead to many deaths in Syria, innocent civilians dying, and also that ISIS would take advantage of making out that the UK was killing civilians, so using it as a propaganda tool, which I think we've sort of seen. And actually that sort of speaks to a broader issue around concerns about how well we are looking at, as you were saying, with the reference from the quote that Abby recently made, is that how are we understanding the risks of remote warfare? And I think this is a really interesting opportunity then for John Healey, given that the Labour Party committed in their 2019 general election manifesto for a review of the risks and challenges of remote warfare as part of a broader security review. Now that we have got a review happening, although it's a different party taking that forward, yeah. I think in opposition, it will be important that those same commitments that the party made in their manifesto are sort of borne out in their opposition, in their role now as the new opposition. I think the last thing that I want to say on this is that I think there's a particular angle that Keir Starmer might play on this, and that's around sort of the legal basis for interventions. Given his legal background, used to head up the Crown Prosecution Service, so it's quite significant legal background. And that historically, when it came to the Iraq intervention, for example, he was very much opposed to the way in which the government at the time under Tony Blair was trying to put forward the legal case for intervention. And there's a very well publicised article that he wrote at the time, arguing that the way in which Resolution 1441, I think it was being interpreted by the then government. So I think he's going to take a very sort of legalistic approach in his opposition, which I think will be a different kind of challenge to Boris Johnson, who, yeah. You know, he's got that person, a very bombastic character, very charismatic. Keir isn't so charismatic, but he's very good on detail. And I think some of his supporters have said, you know, he's gonna get Boris Johnson on detail. So I think in that sense, you know, the government will be thinking about how they adapt their approach with someone who's got not only a very good reputation, very good professional background, still is sort of more on the what I would describe as sort of the more radical side of the party. And by that I mean that he's more on the sort of progressive side, wants to shake things up. So still got that kind of edge that might appeal to Corbyn supporters within his party, but still very much kind of with that different sort of, I would describe it as credibility, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His background. So yeah, a very interesting couple of months ahead, I think, and I think it's important that we do try and understand, and I'll have a piece on this coming on the website very shortly, hopefully, about, you know, what this really means for the Labour Party in terms of their stances on foreign policy.
It's interesting as well. I think you saw it even in the PMQs last week, that Keir Starmer was very fact-based, and it was a very different debate than we've seen before with the PMQs. And of course, it wasn't Boris Johnson, it was Dominic Raab who was giving the counter-answers. Mm-hmm. But it's still interesting to see how the opposition has shifted, definitely, yeah. As different personalities coming on.
And I think even given, you know, I think that came out even though there was a slightly different approach to PMQs, given everything that's going on with a virtual parliament. I think you're absolutely right. It was a slightly different leader of the opposition, and it'll be interesting to see now that I believe Boris Johnson is back in action, and he'll probably be at the dispatch box this week, how that plays out between that little sparring match over PMQs.
Absolutely. All right, well, very exciting month coming ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Megan.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye.